you'll turn in your hymnal to number 435, God of Grace and God of Glory. Today's scriptures come from Proverbs 28 and Acts 4, if you'd like to turn in your Bible and follow along. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Acts 4:23-31. Referenced as the believer's prayer. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. May he be with Brother Earl as he comes with the morning message, and may we leave able to speak boldly for the Lord.
Let me begin by saying it's a joy to be with you again, to come and to share the gospel and to greet you on behalf of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on this, the Lord's Day. And I want to say thank you to Sari, too, for that inclusion that she did several times, what the message was about today. Sometimes there's not much said, and then often when we leave, we depart from the church on a Sunday morning, nobody remembers what was said. The message and the pastor just kind of right over top the head, and it doesn't necessarily meet any good end out of that. And so I'm grateful that she kind of called that to your attention a little bit. And I do pray, as she prayed, that when you leave this place today, you will be emboldened, because that's what we want to talk about. The title of the message says, Find Your Inner Lion. A call to boldness. And what I wanted to point out was really what the first text that came from Proverbs tells us, and that is that, you know, boldness within us that comes as a gift of the Spirit. Now, you may not know that, but hopefully you learn that both in the text and in the message that I share with you today. Boldness is a gift from the Holy Spirit, and it's when we begin to let Jesus, who we have welcomed into the throne seat of our heart, literally shine out of us upon others. Jesus within us, because we love him, we received him, we've welcomed him, now shines out of us on others. That's the boldness that I am calling us to today as the church. And we are the church, each and every one of you. It's not this building. It's a beautiful building, and it's a great place to come. I couldn't think of any place better to be. But it's not the building that is the church. It's the people. And the real work and the ministry of the church takes place when you depart from this place on Sunday. When you go out into the world, there the work of God is done. And it is done not by the preachers, not by the deacons, not by the custodian of the church. It's done by the members. You got to remember that shepherds don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. So if we want more people to come to our church, then our people of the church need to let them know they are welcome here. And that's how it happens. And I want us to be encouraged today. I want you to be emboldened and hear the call of Christ to be set free in you, to take your calling, your faith in Jesus Christ seriously. So seriously that everywhere you go, everything you do, every word you say, every person you meet somehow sees and gets a glimpse of what Jesus means to you in that encounter. And sometimes not even if you share a word, just be in their presence, because the ministry of presence is powerful in its own right. The whole point of this message today is to help us understand that even though Jesus came into the world and was the sacrificial lamb, he died on the cross. His blood paid for our sins. And we are set free by that blood. We're washed in it. And that was God's plan that started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Someday I ought to do a service to help all of the Christians understand that God has known from the very beginning that he loved us, that we are special, and he has wanted a relationship with us. And all he has desired from day one was that we would be and abide with him in his eternal kingdom forever. That's what God wants. And we need to communicate that truth to the rest of the world. We don't need to be afraid of what the world's doing. And I know the world's going crazy right now. If I may use some of the street language, it's gone to hell in a handbasket. That's an old phrase, but still it meets the meaning. The world is, they're calling evil good. And they're calling right wrong. Everything's upside down, inside out, and backwards. And I don't blame you for being scared about that when you see it. You think to yourself, Lord, what are my children going to grow up in? What are we facing here? What's in around the next corner? I'm scared. Lord, what are we? Don't be. I read the end of the book, brothers and sisters, and it turns out good. God's kingdom is coming. And the worst thing that this world can do to you will ultimately put you in the arms of Jesus. Do you hear me? I'll say it again. The worst that this world has to throw at you will put you into the arms of Jesus. Now, start thinking like that. And then you won't be afraid of the terrible things. Yes, there are wars and there are rumors of wars. Yes, there is pestilence and famine. Yes, there are earthquakes. Yes, all of these evils in the world, and Satan is rearing his ugly head. It's going on and it's up in our face and worse than we have known it in two or three lifetimes. But God is still in control. And His day is coming. And it's a lot closer now than it's ever been before. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. I want my name written into the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's worth rejoicing. That means facing these terrible things as they unfold before us. So I urge you today in this message to release the lion of Jesus Christ from within you. There's no such thing, and I've said this before many a time, but I'm going to repeat it, as a closet Christian. You cannot be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ and hide that. If it's real, it's going to find a way to break out of you. And what I'm saying is, help it. Set it free. The lion is an important symbol. It stands for courage. It stands for justice. It stands for power. It stands for strength. It stands for wisdom. It stands for dignity. It stands for authority. It stands for riches. All of those are qualities of Jesus Christ. We need to embrace it. Why do you think they used the lion on almost all the shields and the armors and the crests of the kings and the monarchs, the nobility? Because of those very qualities. And what I'm telling you, when you received Jesus and made him a part of your life, the lion took up residence in your house. All of those qualities are there now. And it's your duty to live faithfully and to advance the cause of Christ as you live. Now, some people could hear that and say, that means I'm supposed to run out and start knocking on doors and witnessing and passing out pamphlets and flyers, go to the airport and get me a tambourine and make a ruckus so that I get attention and all. That is not the only way there is to witness. Those are ways. But everything you do is seen by somebody. Every place you go is seen by somebody. Everything you say is heard by somebody. That is a witness, whether you want it to be or not. And sometimes we say things, do things, and go places we don't want nobody to see. Not even God. But you and I already know you can't hide it from Him. That's impossible. We need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to advance the cause of Christ, especially in these difficult times, which I want to call, and I believe I'm right, the end times. I think we're there. I think we're in there. There are just a few things in Scripture. My brothers, I have two brothers younger than I am. I'm the oldest of five kids. We get together every now and then, and they know I'm a preacher. Daddy was a preacher. And so we end up talking about spiritual things quite often. Both of them are very spiritual men. And the last time we met for lunch, we were talking about the signs of the times and the things that still had to happen before Jesus came again. I actually made a list and took it with me to lunch, and I gave them a copy of, each of them a copy of the things that had not yet been fulfilled. And brothers and sisters, it wasn't long. It was a short list. Not more than a dozen things on that list. Over 500 prophecies have been fulfilled already. Most of them, over 250 of them, by Jesus himself when he was here living in the world. Since then, others have been fulfilled. And there are only a few. I'll give you one, for example. just kind of beat you a little bit, tease you some. The temple has not been rebuilt in Jerusalem. That's one of the things it says will happen when the time is right for the Lord to come again. The Lord's day will occur. That's just one of them. The few, it's a handful that's there. Well, I'm here to tell you what the Old Testament text that Sister Sari read to you and what the New Testament text are trying to say to you today. It aligns boldness with the characteristics of a lion. And it draws a contrast. If you stop and think about it, look at those words. It draws a contrast between the wicked, which are all over the place these days, and their numbers seem to be overwhelming to us, and the righteous. The righteous, the believers, the faithful. The wicked seem to be just as afraid as we may be, wrongly so, but they are just as afraid, and they run at the drop of a hat. You know, they'll stand up and shout and get in your face and do all kinds of things, but they don't stay there long. They tuck their tails and run after a while. When the going gets the least bit tough and there's any resistance, they cut and leave, whereas the righteous won't flee. Instead, they're bold and they're faithful and steadfast and strong. That is the characteristics of that lion that I was talking about. And that's what we are called to be. Peter and John had been put in jail. They had been beaten. They had been threatened by the Sanhedrin, by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were all, even the temple guards picked on them. And they returned because they were afraid to charge them with anything. The people had heard their preaching about Jesus. And the miracles that they were working, the wonderful works that they were performing, testified to the truth and the power of what they were saying. And so those chief priests, those Sadducees, those Pharisees were all afraid to do anything, to bring a charge against Peter and John. And so they set them free. They had to. Now I call that the work of the Holy Spirit. We could call it cowardice from those that arrested them. But after 2 days of interrogation, they finally set Peter and John free. And what did they do? They went right back to their companions. And they didn't hide in a corner and close up all the windows and the doors and shiver and cower in the dark. They didn't pack up their bags and leave town. No, they did exactly the opposite. They did exactly the opposite. They gathered in prayer. And they were testifying and praising God. And the unity of the group grew as a result of their rejoining and coming back and reporting what had happened there and how God had moved in such a mighty way. And they prayed in earnest and their confidence grew. And then, and I love this part of the scripture, sometimes we almost read over stuff and forget it, don't pay any attention to it because it's just one or two words, but it says the room shook. The room shook while they were praying. The room was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only the men and women who had gathered there, his companions, they were all filled with the Spirit too because the text says so. But the room shook. Now I think when we gather in God's house, this place we call the house of God, we ought to assemble with a powerful prayer and a time of joy that we make the room shake. You heard people talk about raising the rafters, and you were doing it a while ago. You just didn't quite get all the way to it when you were singing your songs of praise. That's what we come for. We're supposed to be full of joy. We're supposed to be lifted up. We're supposed to be giving praise and adoration to our God and letting how wonderful, let Him know how wonderful He is and how important He is and how much He means to us. So shake the rafters and the windows. If you can break them, I say amen. I know they're valuable and beautiful, and I'd hate to see one crack, but if you can do it by praising God, it's worth it. We as a people of God need to let the inner lion go and not be afraid. We need to be bold. Now, I want you to understand that word. It's a simple word. Bold in boldness. It means daring. Dare to do something that somebody else won't. They have to think twice about it. It means audacious. Now, that's not a word we use very often anymore. Used to be used more often, but it means willing to risk and appearing in such a way that you're risking and might even be embarrassed by what you do. Willing to take that risk, that's being audacious. To the point that maybe you're afraid somebody might think you're disrespecting them. And that's pretty bad news around here. People, that's one thing they do get upset about pretty good. If you're, the kids put it this way, if you're dissing me, if you're putting me down, you know, saying bad things about me, if you show disrespect, kids get upset and angry about that faster than anything I've kind of noticed. Well, we sometimes have to go to the edge of that to say what God wants us to say, to be what God wants us to be, to show what God wants us to show and to tell and to teach as a Christian, to let people know that the world's way is not the right way. God's way is the right way. When we are bold, we're unashamed. When we are bold, we're forward in our behavior. And I want you to realize, understand, and embrace the fact that that kind of boldness is a real, honest-to-goodness gift from the Holy Spirit. It is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in and moving and using you to carry out the agenda of God. Boldness is a good thing, a gift from the Holy Spirit, because, listen carefully, that courage, boldness, is rooted in faith. And when it's rooted like a tree, it won't be moved. It won't be shaken. It demonstrates clarity and conviction, boldness, knowing and believing without any doubt that God in Christ and His sweet Holy Spirit is real and working and involved in your life. It becomes an attitude and a confidence that you are a man and a woman of God. And nobody can shake that. You need to think about that every day. When you rise from your bed after a night's rest, remind yourself, I am a man and a woman of God. I have a purpose. And I need to go out into the world and serve my Lord, fulfilling that purpose. And we do it with love and trust and in the reverence, aka fear, of the Lord. We don't fear the world. There is no demon, no devil that needs to be feared, because they don't have any power except what you give them. You hear me? The devil has no power. He can't do anything. God has already decided what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And the devil knows it. He knows his end is coming. So don't you give him a toehold in any part of your life. Command him in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus to mind his own stinking business. And as Jesus said it, get thee behind me, Satan. We need to do that very thing each and every day as we move forward, because we have received, again in boldness, God's grace and mercy. That boldness brings us before a holy God. You and I both know we don't deserve to be in God's presence. We're sinful creatures. We're ugly. The scripture says we're like dirty rags. We're that filthy, but God is holy and clean. And because he has loved us so much, he sent his own son. And he died and paid the price to wash us clean so we can boldly walk up to the very throne of God and be blessed and be rewarded and be commissioned to be his ambassador, to be the representative of Christ. And that's what this boldness does. It reminds you that you are his ambassador. You are his representative. You are to go out in the world no matter where you are. At work, at job, at a gas station, walking down a sidewalk, in your own garden. It don't matter. You're still the child of God. You've still been commissioned. And somebody's watching you whether you know it or not. Have you ever done this before? I guess I'm weird. But sometimes I'm sitting at a window, either in an office or a car, in a parking lot, or in a hospital. I look out the window and I see people walking to and from their cars and up and down the street. and doing things. And I think to myself, I wonder if they know that I'm looking at them right now. Of course they don't. There's no way they could know I'm 3 floors up in a hospital window looking out, watching them walk down the street. That's the way our relationship with God is. He's always watching. He sees everything we do. We are here on His mission to do His work, to do His will, to do His ministry. And we forget that. He enables us, our boldness and love for Him, to face every single challenge that the devil throws at us. There is nothing that we can't overcome when God is with us. All things are possible with God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, people. These are scriptures that you've known since you were knee-high to a butterfly. We just need to put them into practice. That's all there is to it. The word Christian, the very word, means Christ-like. If you want it in Latin, imitatio Christi, it means imitating Christ. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's why they call us Christians, because we're telling the rest of the world when we're baptized that we've been forgiven, we've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, but we believe in Him. We know He is God come in human form, and that He has paved the way for us to go into eternal life with God and Him in His kingdom. And we're looking forward to that day. That's what we're saying to them. When we are Christians, we're telling the world that we want to be like Jesus. And the way to do that is simple. You have to surrender yourself. You ever walk to the end of a pier and thought about taking the next step? Now, if you was Jesus, you could walk on water. And if He was standing there and took your hand like He did Peter's, you could still walk on water. But when you walk to the end of that pier, you come to the end of it. Like we need to come to the end of ourselves, and we need to look up to the Lord and say, I'm here, and I'm yours. From now on, you're in charge. That conversation with God, surrendering yourself and deciding to let Jesus move in and take up residence in your life, surrounding yourself with this cloud of witnesses. That's why being in church is important, people. Everybody in this room is of a like mind. And if you're not, I invite you to talk to me at the door after church. I'll work on you. We all know who Jesus is, and we all confess a love for Him. We all want our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We all want to do what makes God proud of us as His child. And that's what knowing in Jesus and surrendering to Jesus does. And surrounding ourselves with other saints, brothers and sisters, who have that same heart. They want to honor God. That is their goal, and we must set those goals. And they have no fear against anything of the world, but only the fear of God, because that's the beginning of wisdom. Remember your scriptures. We fear, and fear here is not a trembling, scared that you're going to hurt me fear. It's a fear of trembling because you have the power to do anything with me you want to do. Revering reverence for God. Let your lion out. Be bold in your faith. It's time, brothers and sisters. And God will do amazing things. He'll shake more rooms because the Spirit will fill people. Coming to church shouldn't be done half-hearted, out of routine or any other motive. You're coming here to be with the saints and in the presence of God Almighty. That's why you're here. Coming to church is not a membership. You didn't get baptized to put your name on the roll. You got baptized to let the world know it's an outward sign of an inward change, and God's moving in, and the devil's been kicked out. Your life has changed, and you're a new creature now in God. Coming to church is serious work. And we need people to know we take it seriously. Be bold in your faith of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit sharpen your gifts, and don't you deny having them. Nothing makes me more upset than for somebody to say, well, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any skills. I can't do the things you do as a preacher or the things that others in the church do. That's a lie. The Holy Spirit gives us all gifts. Did you hear that S on the end of it? Gifts. You got more than one. Quit sitting on it. It's time to let God move through you and work in you. And that is evidenced by the very gifts, abilities that are given to you. And when you start using abilities, guess what happens? You start yielding fruit. Another thing from the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit comes and gives you an ability. You start using the ability. Then you start getting something else from the Holy Spirit. You get the fruits. And what are fruits? Those are qualities. Those are graces and virtues, we call them. They're characteristics is what they are, that let the world know you belong to Jesus. All right, I done gone on long enough. Did you get the message? Brothers and sisters, church, be bold in Jesus Christ. Be unashamed. Go out there and let them know that you're serious about this man called Jesus, and you want to invite them to come and meet him. I want you to meet my Jesus. And man, is he a stick of dynamite. Amen. As we stand and sing our closing hymn. Is it 4:35? Oh, 7:30. That sounds like a time. I didn't preach that long, did I? Let's stand together as we sing. with the King of Glory we shall reign eternally. Okay, go out there. You got your marching orders. Stand up for Jesus. Amen.